Good morning, church. Can you guys hear me okay? I know we're a little low on the mic. Can you guys, everybody can hear?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great to be together this morning. And I hope everybody's doing great today. And it's a great day to worship God. Hope you've been having a great week. I've been having a really exciting week. There's been a lot going on. And just hanging out with the brothers and getting to know people more and studying the Bible with people. It's just been a really encouraging week. And I think one of the highlights of my week was on Monday night, the core group got together and we were just praying through the membership of the church. And that was just really, really encouraging because I know one thing, I can only do so much as a minister. I'm very limited on what I can do. But God is not limited. And so when we pray, it just felt like God was really thinking and taking care of each person. And we just want you to know that we're going to be praying for the church a lot because I believe in that a lot. And I just want anybody to know I carry a personal prayer list with me all the time. So if you want your name on the prayer list, the prayer list that I pray every day, please come and see me. I'll try to get around to everybody, but I might miss people. So if you want me to pray for you every day, like something specific, please let me know, okay? Let's go to God. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, for just how much you love us, Father, and always taking care of us. And God, thank you for meeting all of our needs. Thank you, Father, for just your wisdom, Father, that we're going to talk about today, and really just how wise you are, and really in comparison to what we know and who we are, God, you just know everything, and you're so amazing because you know what's best for our life. And Father, thank you that you've brought each one of us here today, that you've helped each one of us, God, to know you. And Father, you've had a plan for our life that's better than our own. And Father, we're just so grateful for you. And God, we just ask that your wisdom would fill up the room, God, today, that your words would be spoke, and that your spirit would really be with each one of us, God. God, I love you so much. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so today we're going to talk about God is wisdom. And isn't it awesome to know that we follow a God that's wise?
Yeah.
You know, and it's awesome. God knows so much more than what we know. But I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when you read the Bible, isn't there sometimes that it's really hard to follow God's wisdom over your own?
Yes.
You know, I think so. You know, some of you may not be that. I'll tell you things I struggle with. You know, you may not struggle with the same things, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I see things in there that I go, wow, I need to change that. I need to, and maybe it's not something that I don't even want to do at the moment. You know, I don't know if you guys can relate to that. But, you know, I think about some of the scriptures in the Bible, especially studying the Bible 23 years ago to become a Christian. And I remember just opening up, these guys opened up the Bible and they said, you got to radically change your life and you got to follow this scripture and this scripture. And I go, wow. But my life was, you know, I wasn't going that way in my wisdom. And now God in his wisdom wants me to go a whole different direction.
Come on.
And so I wanted to share with you a time in my life. There's been many times, actually. But I want to share one time in my life where it was really, really hard for me to trust the wisdom of God. And so this was probably about 9 years ago. And my father was very, very sick for many, many years. He had dementia. He died pretty young. My relationship with my father was never really that good. And so we were never really close. We never really did anything together. He was a very selfish person, and that really affected me a lot in my life. And so this was about 9 years ago, so I found out my dad was in the hospital. And the evangelist comes up to me and he says, hey, Mike, how you doing? I said, oh, my dad's in the hospital. He's doing pretty bad. But what else, you know, let's talk about the service or something. And he was like, wait a minute, aren't you really concerned with what's going on with your father? And he talked to me a little bit, and really what was happening, there was a lot of things that I needed to forgive my father of. There was a lot of things that were deep in my heart that I felt like, you know, he should have done, or he should, and it just caused resentment, and it put me in a place where I had this unforgiven this bitterness that was going on in my heart. And so he read some scriptures to me, the evangelist. He was a good friend of mine. And I remember one of the scriptures was Matthew 6:15. It says, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that was really, really challenging. It was really challenging because we weren't just talking about one thing that I felt like my father did that I was bitter at. I was talking about many, many years worth of things that I had in my heart. And it was really hard because now I was pushed and I was forced to look at the Bible and look at, here's God's wisdom and here's my wisdom. Now, in my wisdom, my way of dealing with it was just don't deal with it. That was my wisdom, because I thought, well, if I just, you know, if I pretend nothing's wrong with me, if I pretend there's nothing in my heart going on, then I'm sure this will just kind of pass over. That's my wisdom. Not very smart, but that's my wisdom. And then the Bible's saying that I needed to really, really forgive my father. And I'll tell you, that was a tough decision for me to make. And he was on his deathbed at that time. And basically, the evangelist challenged me to write a letter and read it to my father. I don't know if my father was able to hear, understand it or not, but I had to sit there to my father and read a list, a letter of what was going on in my heart, apologize for my bitterness. And I tell you, it was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life, because I've never dealt with that part of my heart. I've never dug that deep with the things I was saying. I'd never done it in my life. And I had to trust in the wisdom of the scriptures. Now, in hindsight of all that, I'm glad that I did that. I'm glad, because if I would have followed my wisdom, I might still be bitter today.
Yeah.
You know, and yet God's wisdom always is true. God's wisdom is always right. He always knows more about me than I think I know about me. You know, that's the really cool thing about God. And so, you know, there's many things in the scriptures. I'm glad the brother pointed out the scriptures to me. And I'm sure there's many things for you. We're all different, so I can't say, well, you have the same thing happening in your life. But I'm sure for all of us, there's areas of scripture that are very easy to trust in God, right? And then there's and I'm just being real, because there are times when I read the scriptures and I go, well, this is rather hard. It's a rather difficult, and I've got to make some real changes here, right? And so there's all kinds of things that we can trust, because if we don't trust the Bible, what do we usually trust?
Ourselves.
We trust ourselves, and we trust our own wisdom. I don't know if you remember. I remember before I was a Christian, I always trusted my wisdom. That's the reason I had to become a Christian, because my wisdom never works.
Amen.
And, you know, there's a whole bunch of other things, too, that we can trust in. We can trust in what we're taught in school or what our friends at work say. We can look to books. We can read philosophers, and we can trust people that have these big titles on the front of their names. You know, and we can go, well, because they've got education, they have such awesome wisdom. But the reality is, at the end of the day, God is the only one that has great wisdom.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And this will be a little bit different today, because I don't like preaching with a whole bunch of scriptures. But today I got a lot of scriptures, because I want to show you how awesome
Amen.
God is.
Amen.
I want to show you just how wise God is. Because when we understand how wise He is, we can start to begin to really trust how wise He is with our own life. And so the title is God is Wisdom. So turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And I really love this scripture. This is a really cool scripture. Because what it does is it really shows us kind of two different paths. It says, you know, we can look to the wisdom of the world, and we can look and try to find the philosophers and all the smart people with all the answers, or we can really look to God's wisdom. And really, that's a choice we have in life. In life, that's a choice we have to make. Whether we're going to follow the wisdom of man, or we're going to follow the wisdom of God in our lives. We have that choice. And that's something that all of us have to decide. We have to decide what's going to make more sense. What's going to make more sense? And I remember looking through the worldly eyes before I was a Christian. You know, my family was a little bit religious, and I had enough understanding about God that I just thought the whole Bible thing was just crazy. And I thought that, you know, there's so much wisdom in this world. Why do we need God? Why is God really that smart? Because at least I thought at that time, I'm doing pretty good doing it my own way. If you looked at my life, that was not the truth. But that's in my deceived mind, that's where I was. And, but looking through my worldly eyes, the world made more sense. And it was really hard to look at God and go, wow, God, he makes a lot of sense, because I've never trusted in him before. And when we look through the eyes of the world, the scripture says that it's foolish. It's foolish. When people think about the cross and everything that we believe in, when we think about Jesus, you know, the world looks at this teaching and this kind of wisdom as foolish. And, you know, it really makes sense. Why? Because it really goes against, it's in opposition to all the standards of the world, right? Everything we read in the Bible, it stands in opposition to everything that we're taught around us. I mean, when you turn on the TV, we don't see many things that go along with the scriptures. It goes against the norm. And, you know, whenever you go against the norm, that makes you feel, what, out of place. And so when I thought about, man, if I lived a life possibly of following God, I was going to be really out of place, because none of my friends at that time were doing that. Nobody I knew was doing it. I looked at my family and they turned on Christian TV, but yet their lives didn't follow what was being preached. And I was like, there's no way that I'm really going to do that, because it made no sense to me. But now as a Christian, it's awesome, because now, through really understanding Jesus and understanding what he's done for me, when I look at the cross now, I see it in a whole different way. Right. Now it all makes sense today. It makes sense. I look at Jesus and I look at the amazing amount of love. I look at what he did and how he did it. And I look at just so many different scriptures. And today I really understand that my way of doing things wasn't right. My wisdom and the world's wisdom really did not have much to offer me. That I had to make a decision from going from the wisdom of man to moving my whole life and my whole perspective on life to the wisdom of God. And when you have wisdom of God, when you trust in that, you got to trust. Because before, you're going to trust in something, right? All of us are going to trust in something. Some people say, I trust in nothing. Well, yeah, you do. You trust in you. Everybody's trusting in something.
Right.
And I had to move my whole heart and all my mind to trusting now the wisdom of God. And I'm so glad I did, because now I understand, and it's just so exciting to be able to worship God and know that he's done so much for me. And when I see the cross, it makes sense now because of all the love. You know. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to make a little case for you today that God has so much more wisdom than we do.
more.
Okay? That God has so much more wisdom versus our minds. So we're going to look at a few scriptures today talking about that. You guys like scriptures?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to look at some. And there's going to be a reason for this at the end. I'll tell you why we're looking at all of these. But I want to make the case first that God is wise. Okay, some of the things we're going to compare what man thinks and what the Bible says. Okay, so in the wisdom of man, you know, what shape is the earth? In the wisdom of man, only up until about 2,000 years ago, it was believed that the earth was flat. And so you got the picture of the boat going off the side of the earth. And at one time, that's what people really thought. They thought that, wow, the earth is flat. In the wisdom of God, this was 740 to 680 BC. This is way before man figured it out. It says in Isaiah, it says, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Isn't it amazing? When we go to the scriptures, we find out that it took many, 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 many years for man to even discover that God already had in his scriptures the right idea that the world was a circle. Let's look at some more. The earth is seated in the cosmos. In the wisdom of man, because the earth was flat, they really believed, man really thought for many, many years that the earth was seated on top of something. That there was some kind of like, either like table legs or something that was holding up this flat earth. And there are many, a lot of different religions. This one's the Hindu belief, but there are many different religions that were somewhat like this picture over here. They believe that there's elephants on top of a giant turtle that holds up the earth. And that's what some people really believed. But in the wisdom of God, and this was all the way 2000 to 1800 BC, this is 2000 years before Jesus' time, it says in Job, it says, he spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing. Again, we can go to the scriptures before man in all his wisdom spent so many years trying to figure this out. God already knew. He already knew exactly that the earth was suspended up in the air. Are valleys in the seas? We're going to look at a lot of different subjects. Are there valleys in the seas? In the wisdom of man, most people thought all the way up until somewhat in the 19th century that this is what the whole bottom of the ocean looked like. And they really thought, not even like that, it was more of a bowl. And they believed that the deepest part of the ocean was in the middle. And that's what a lot of people thought for many, many, many years. In the wisdom of God, now we probably won't read through all these because for the sake of time, but you can look at, like, in the wisdom of God in Psalm 18, verse 15, it says, the valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. Job 38, 16, it says, have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked into the recesses or valleys of the deep? And you can read those other scriptures too. And you got to really think about this. Before man even had the ability to go and see the bottom of the earth, or bottom of the ocean. Like now we can go on a submarine, right? Submarine could go down there, and we have all kinds of modern technology today that we can figure out that the earth is not this bowl of sand. But before man even had that ability, God already knew that it was more like this, that there were mountains. I mean, I just think about that, and I just think, how awesome God is. How incredible he is. In our little minds, sometimes we think we have all wisdom, but it takes many, 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 many years just to find out even some of the physical things that God already knew in advance. Let's look at some others. Are there water paths, ocean currents in the sea? And this is Psalm 8 and a few different things. And really, we'll read the whole thing. It says, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all swam the path of the sea. You know, people didn't understand that. They didn't know that there was these currents in the ocean. And really, how this was discovered, I thought was really, really interesting. So there's this guy, Matthew Murray. And I want to read this thing to you here. It says, in the 1800s, Matthew Murray, an officer in the United States Navy, believed his Bible. As a Christian, he loved to read the scriptures. And one day, Murray was reading about the dominion man was given over the animals in Psalm 8. He was amazed that verse 8 spoke of the fish and the creatures that swim in the paths of the sea that we just read. He wondered what was meant by this expression. In his experience, he had never known such a thing. He was determined to find out if these paths of the sea were really true. Murray discovered that the oceans have many paths or currents, which were like rivers flowing through the sea. Murray wrote the first book on oceanography and became known as the pathfinder of the seas and the father of modern navigation. Murray received his idea about the ocean currents from reading Psalm 8:8, written about 3,000 years ago by King David. David wrote as he was moved by the Spirit of God and probably never actually saw an ocean current with his own eyes. And yet, in the Bible, and this is just so amazing, that this guy, he used the Bible to come to the conclusion and to find out the proof about this, that the Bible said there's ocean currents, there must be, I'm going to go and find them. And before, and he goes back, and where he got this from was King David, 3,000 years ago, and King David probably never, ever saw the ocean current himself. And I just think that's so amazing. It's so beyond our wisdom. It's so beyond our thinking. God knows so much. There's something called entropy. Entropy. I'm probably saying that wrong. Entropy. The second law of thermodynamics. I'm not this smart now, so this is stuff I had to find a little bit of this. You know, Bill can probably help me out or somebody like that. It says what's the second law of thermodynamics is? It's a relatively recent observation. It was about 1824 that they discovered this in the field of science, especially considering the long history of human thinking here on the planet Earth. The law of entropy, also known as the second law of thermodynamics, is sometimes described in the following manner. Energy spontaneously tends to flow only from being concentrated in one place to becoming diffused or dispersed and spread out. In other words, disorder and randomness tends to increase. A system will, if isolated from external sources of order or energy or information, eventually run down and die. You know, it took till about 1824 for man to really understand and know that. In the Bible, in Psalm 102, about 1,000 B.C. to 400 B.C., it says, in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. Hebrews 50 to 70 A.D., it says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. Again, something that took man so long to really figure out. I'm not saying there's not a lot of smart people. There are a lot of smart people. I'm not one of them, but there's a lot of smart people. But God was smarter than even the smartest people. He already knew this in his wisdom. And we can go on and on, and I hope I'm not boring you because I like this kind of stuff, and it really excites me to know that God is this awesome. Is there something called the hydraulic cycle? It's the rules for weather. And basically, I won't even read all of this. You can read that they thought there were some gods that would kind of send this light down to the other gods to send the lightning and stuff like that. But it wasn't until the hydraulic cycle was first discovered by two scientists named whatever, in the 1700s. Yet it was described in the Bible thousands of years before that. And again, we won't read all these, but you can jot down some of the scriptures if you just want to learn. Job in 26:8, in 2000 to 1800 B.C., it says, He wraps up the waters in his clouds, and yet the clouds do not burst under their weight. Genesis 8, and it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Job 28, God made the decrees, rules, again for the rain. And he set a way for the lightning of the thunder. And again, God knew. He had this all in his plan. He invented all this. So he knows all this before we could even figure it out. There's many other things you can go to the Bible and you can try to prove. Before man knew it, we can see that God already had the answers. Yeah, we can look to the universe expanding. We can look to the beginning of time and matter. That there's springs and fountains of the sea. And there's other ones. You know, and I just think that that's so amazing. It's so amazing that the God that I go and pray to every day, he knows, he is complete wisdom. He knows everything. He knows everything way more than I will ever, ever even dream of knowing. So what can I do with all of this is probably what you're thinking. A lot of cool information, but how do I process this? How do I use this stuff for my life? Well, I'm going to tell you. And I think it's really cool because, you know, when we, you know, in 1 Corinthians, actually, we'll go back. This is the first scripture we looked at. In 1 Corinthians 1, 25, it says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. It's saying here that at our very, very best, and at God's, if there is a such thing as his least, we still are not even anywhere near him. But his wisdom is so much more and so much greater that when I am at my very, very best, if I were the smartest person in the whole world, at my very best, I could never come close to the wisdom of God. I could never even get anything near it. You know, and sometimes when I read the scriptures, I think, wow, like, you know, I told you about my story about my father. And sometimes when I read the scriptures, I look at things and I go, wow, this scripture is really, really hard to follow. And sometimes in my pride and my arrogance, I could think, well, I know a better way. I know something better for my life. But the cool thing is, in knowing that God knows everything and he is complete wisdom, I don't have to put my trust in myself. When I look at what he knew about the world, why wouldn't I think that he knows even more about me?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I think that he knows the best way for me to live?
That's right.
You know, he knows all about the earth. He knows. I would be arrogant to think that he doesn't know what's best for my life. Mm-hmm. That would be just complete arrogance to say, God, I know better than you.
Right.
I know better than that scripture there that's really hard for me to follow. And most of the time, I don't want to follow it because it's hard, not because it's wrong, you know. But to go to God and say, God, I know the plan, is just complete arrogance.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I never want to be at that spot. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that all of you, when you see me ever doing that, help me out. Because when we look at God's wisdom, it just makes sense that he knows and we can trust in his wisdom about everything in our life. I want you to think, now again, we're not going to read through all these scriptures, but I want you to think about some of the hardest scriptures in your life that you've read. I want you to think about some things that are just very challenging for you. So when you read the Bible, and whether you're here today and you've been a Christian for a long time, or whether you don't want, you know, you're not a Christian, whether you don't want to be a Christian, who knows? I don't know where you are today. But all of us have heard scriptures that have been like, wow, that's pretty hard for me to do. That's pretty hard for me to change. For me, it was really having forgiveness for my father. You know, but we can look, you know, that's the first one there, Matthew 15. Matthew 6:33, seek his kingdom first. Matthew 9:23, if you come after him, you've got to deny yourself and take up his cross. Again, these are just a few. I don't know what's the hardest one for you. Maybe it's the last one. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. You know, sometimes that's hard. You know, I got to tell people what's on my heart and my sin. But here's what I really want us to get this morning. If we don't get anything about all this mess that I just told you, this is what I want you to get. God's wisdom is always the way, even when it's hard to obey. Can you guys all say that with me? God's wisdom is always the way, even when it's hard to obey. If there's one thing I want you to leave with today, is when you go to the scriptures and when you read things that you may not even understand, that you may find challenging, that you may find difficult for you to do, I really want you to think about this statement. And even thinking about all the things God knows about the world and about the earth and about all things, that God's wisdom is always the way, even when it's hard to obey. You know, and I want you to imagine if all of us looked at the Bible through that perspective. If we looked at the Bible in that perspective, because, you know, it's really easy to do the fun things in the Bible, right? There's some things that are just more natural, so we read those things and we go, oh, I'm going to do that, you know, because that's me. But when we read the Bible and we look at things that we're challenged by and we go, that's just not really me, I want you to really think about this, because God, we can trust Him.
Yeah.
We can trust Him, and we can trust His wisdom that on my very best day, He still knows more about me in my life. On my very best day, He still knows more about the direction and the path that I should take. You know, think about your most challenging scriptures and ask yourself, how have I been viewing those? How have I been going after those things? I really want to challenge you to do that this week. Go back into the Bible, pick out some things that have just been really hard for you to change. Pick out some things that you've been really challenged by when you've read your Bible. And I want you now to look at it through that perspective. You know, and to me, this just brings me so much peace and brings me so much comfort to know that the God I follow, He's the God of all wisdom. Amen. He's the God that knows more about me than I will ever know about myself. He's the one that knows about a plan for my life. I had no plan on being in Auburn. He would have asked me 10 years ago if I knew where Auburn was. I would say, oh, where? You know, I never, you know, L.A., I'm just in my L.A. lifestyle. Not, you know, not even thinking about Auburn. But in God's plan, He knows I should be here. And in your life, God has a plan that you're on.
Come on.
He has scriptures that He's wanting you to point out to you. And the coolest thing is that we can trust in the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.